Studios in Eugene, Oregon, it's Oregon Update with your hosts, Cliff and Robin. You can join Cliff and Robin by dialing 646-721-9887 or by email at talk@krbnradio.com. And now, here's your hosts, Cliff and Robin.
As they say in the medical facilities, that we're back like a bed headache.
Okay. I haven't been in that many medical facilities to have them say that to me.
No, unfortunately, I haven't either. I was lying.
So
I
yes. Heaven forbid.
Anyways, I'm Robin, that's Cliff, and this is our show, so welcome. And we would like it to...
Welcome to our medical facility.
Welcome to our medical facility. We'd also like it to be your show as well, and to
your medical
chat Cliff over there in the remote studio of Cottage Grove, because we're broadcasting here in the main studio in Eugene, Oregon.
Certainly a beautiful day today. Are you aware of that?
It is. In fact, I've come to the conclusion that Oregon is on menopause.
What?
Well, this month we've had snow, we've had sunshine, we've had a week's worth of fog. So we've had hot and cold, hot and cold, hot and cold. It's on menopause.
Okay. I'm not the right sex to think about things like that.
Ah, lucky you.
Yeah. Maybe. I don't know.
So anyways, putting it over to Cliff, who will announce how can people join us today?
Oh, give us a call. 646-721-9887. That's telephone number 646-721-9887. Now, you can pick up a phone and you can dial that number and get through to us, or you can pick up a computer and enter that number any old way you want to, and one way or another you'll get to us. And that's the right way to do it. That's the way to do it. This business of emailing us and all this other stuff, no, we want to talk to you. If you want another way, I'll let Robin give that to you. Have we lost you?
There we go. I have to bang it's time for new connectors on the router or the mixer. Anyways. As I was trying to say before I got snubbed by my own equipment, is the other ways you can reach us right now is the chat room is open at blogtalkradio.com/KRBN. If you're one of those unfortunate souls that happen to be listening to us on the archives, you can still participate in the program by sending us an email, talk@krbnradio.com. And we are also available on iTunes, all 200 and some odd episodes of us, so... There's no excuse for you not to being in touch.
We're getting far, huh? Wow.
Yeah, we are all over the place. We got some exciting stuff coming up on today's program and in the future. And on top of a few things that we got to talk about, we'll touch a little bit on the Olympics, the Obamacare issues, as well as the debt. We have an interview with Joe Ray Perkins, who is running for U.S. Senate. That's coming up in a few minutes. And then after the interview, we have one of our What the Heck Are They Thinking segments. So lots of exciting stuff to talk about today. And again, you can join us right now. Do it now. 646-721-9887. Cliff is writing it down right now as I speak.
I've got it written down. I'm beginning of putting it big letters. Just stick on my refrigerator so I can see them. Of course, they're going to have to be gargantuan letters because my sight is not what it used to be.
Yeah, and hopefully I got to buy new cables. Hopefully the mixer will stay with me today. If not, I can just keep hitting it. 646-721-9887. So, again, lots to talk about today. And, again, the interview is pre-recorded, so unfortunate. But if you do have a comment that you would like to make or a question that you would like to ask Joe Ray Perkins in future interviews, you know, again, send us an email, talk@caribbeanradio.com, and you can also forward your questions on to her directly, and we will get to that in a few minutes. Cliff, do you have anything you want to add before we get to our interview?
Not particularly. We've got a lot of things to talk about. There's a lot of things in the news for the moment, because a lot of things have been happening, ready or not. So, and it's, we'll get to it. There's just a million things. We got China's yelling at us. My God, can you believe that they're China is upset because Obama talked to the Dalai Lama? Okay. Anyway. That's just, to me, it sounds so stupid. I didn't know. I thought the Dalai Lama and China got along.
Well, it's not the first time the Dalai Lama visited us anyways.
It was the first time, as far as I know, that China's mentioned it, though.
Well, that's true.
And it's none of their business in the first place. That's the first thing.
And, yeah, I totally agree with you there. But then again, we've stopped running our own country.
Wait a minute. It's none of their. We sit here and say it's none of their business whatever we do in our country. But we are definitely not staying in our country. We're putting our nose where it doesn't belong. Everywhere we're in the midst of almost every country. Anything they've got to do, we have something to say about it. So we don't have something to say about this.
Well, and speaking of something to say about, again, I'd like to. Start with our interview. This interview, by the way, was with Joe Ray Perkins. It was done a couple hours ago, pre-recorded for, how do they say it on TV, pre-recorded for rebroadcast in this time zone?
Yeah, there you go. I don't know about this time zone. We're both in this time zone, but whatever.
Yes. So, to the interview. We would like to welcome back Ms. Joe Ray Perkins, who is running for U.S. Senate. Ms. Perkins, welcome back to the program.
Thank you very much, Robin. Great to be here again.
And very glad to have you back. Hey, we've been following you, your campaign, and been very impressed about some of the questions that have been asked. In fact, one thing that I wanted to ask you, because you were on the Lars Larson's program the other day and given a whopping 2 minutes 40 seconds, and he threw a left hook at you, and you hit that right out of the ballpark when he came down to talking about taxes, and I wanted to give you an opportunity to kind of expand on your thoughts about taxes and about the whether we should have a consumption tax, a value-added tax. What do you feel about sales tax, as the Oregonians have said no for about 9 times?
Well, this would not be an Oregon tax. So I want people to understand that very clearly. This, because I'm running for the U.S. Senate, and Oregonians have voted down a sales tax because there's no guarantee that the other taxes will go away. So what I'm talking about is taking a look at a federal sales or consumption or value-added tax, replacing the 16th Amendment or rewriting the 16th Amendment so that we do away with all income taxes. You know, our founders felt that it was immoral to tax a man on his labor.
Uh-huh.
And this income tax is fairly new. It's roughly a little over 100 years old, or a little under 100 years old. So the idea of an income tax to tax somebody and penalize them is just not good. In fact, it was Karl Marx, in his book, Communist Manifesto, and hold on, let me get you that quote here.
Okay.
Let's see here. Okay, so Karl Marx wrote the Communist Manifesto in 1848. He included 10 points that must be accomplished to bring about a true communist society. Number 2 on his list was the establishment of a heavy progressive or graduated income tax. Number 3 was the abolition of all rights of inheritance. So after Marx put together his points in his Communist Manifesto, the progressive income tax became the goal here in the United States, amazingly enough. Now, we have a death tax. We've got an inheritance tax as well in the country. So somebody dies, their entire estate, including the life insurance that they have, is is included and is potentially taxed as high as, I believe it is back up to 49%. And I could be wrong on that because it's been a little bit of time since I looked at that law, but I know that was one of the changes that was a goal. So this idea of an income tax that our founders were absolutely opposed to is one of Karl Marx's 10 points. Why would we want to have that in the United States? So let's take a look at what would a consumption tax look like. When you go to the store and you buy a widget, you would pay a tax. Now, in my proposal, the maximum tax amount would be in the Constitution. It would be in part of the amendment. That prevents the Congress from raising the tax beyond that limited amount without three-fourths consent of the states.
Mm-hmm.
Because that is the number one fear. Rightfully so. We've got people that are being, with our graduated tax system, being taxed as much as 35%, and in some cases higher, on their income. So it's a disincentive to make more money.
Right.
Well, go ahead.
No, go ahead, continue.
Okay, if we get rid of the federal income tax, the consumer now gets to bring home more money. They can decide what they're going to buy. Now, I would not tax food. Food is a necessity. So we're not going to tax your food. Restaurants, just like if you go to California, for those of you that don't live in Oregon, we pay no sales tax. You live in virtually any other state that has a sales tax. When you go out to a restaurant, you have a sales tax. Well, I would do the same underneath the federal, but you don't have a tax when you buy groceries at the store because clearly food is it's kind of necessary to living.
Yes.
So I would not tax food. I would tax consumable goods. And this is an idea that has been floated around for quite some time. There is one out there of a 23% income tax or sales tax. That's too high. I would never advocate for that. I would not advocate for anything greater than 10% as a federal sales tax. Now, the difference between a consumption tax or a sales tax and a value-added tax, and this is the question that Lars was asking me.
Okay.
On a value-added tax, you have a lower percentage, let's say 2%. So when the logger sells his logs to the mill, that is a transaction. There is a tax. The mill cuts it into fencing, and they sell it to the store. There is a sale. That is a tax.
Right.
The retail store sells it to the consumer. There's a tax, and that's where the tax ends. So in this instance, you would have that one log taxed three times, but you would have a maximum tax of, let's say, 2%. Well, if you add that up, it comes out to more than 6%,
right,
because you would have 2%, let's say, on $10, 2%, and I'm just using these numbers, on, let's say, $20, and then 2% on $30, figuring, markup for profitability. So you actually would pay greater than 6%. Does that make sense?
Isn't that kind of the way the system is now, is that I make a widget and I sell the widget to my wholesaler, and so the profit that I make on selling it to the wholesaler, I pay a tax on. The wholesaler sells it to the retailer, and makes a profit off that, so he pays a profit on that tax, and of course whatever the retailer sells it for, his profit. Isn't it kind of the same idea as it is now?
Exactly the same idea, and in that. In that transaction from the logging company to the mill, and then from the mill to the store, the mill is going to include in their cost of production, which and their cost of acquisition of the raw materials, which of course is going to include that tax. Now there's so many hidden taxes as it is, and I'll go back to using timber, because there's a timber tax. So there's already taxes on things that we're consuming. We just don't realize it. In the value-added tax, they could actually build that in. I would prefer that we actually see it versus it being hidden just so that people can see what they're paying. But this does away with the Internal Revenue Service for all intents and purposes. There would still be a revenue department, but it wouldn't be going into your personal effects, which, by the way, is a violation of the Fourth Amendment. Fourth Amendment says that you shall be secure in all of your personal effects.
Mm-hmm.
So how can I be secure in my personal effects if the IRS has the right to go into my bank account or to come into my home or to shut down my business?
Right. Well, that's what took down Al Capone was the IRS.
I'm sorry, say that again?
That's what took down Al Capone was the IRS.
Oh, yes, was the IRS, yeah.
You know, if he would have just paid his taxes on his illegal money, he would have been fine.
Isn't that interesting? So people that are doing illegal illegal businesses,
right?
Let's say a bookie, and they are making money on their business as a bookie. If they file a tax return, the IRS will not turn them in for their illegal business, and they are safe from being charged with tax evasion.
Right.
So, which is kind of interesting. And when you think about it, it's like, what? That makes no sense. But that's really how it works. So I just believe that we need to get away from this income tax. Again, it is a Marxist idea. It's a communist idea.
Well, and especially I'm going by my feeble little brain. The federal income tax, for example, was a temporary tax to help fund, I believe it was the Civil War or something. It wasn't meant to be a permanent tax, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, correct. So we've had taxes, but then they went away. This tax that we have now, this income tax, underneath the 16th Amendment was, let me see if I've got the date that it was enacted or ratified, Section 11th Amendment. 16th Amendment, February 3rd, 1913. So, yeah, just over 100 years.
Mm-hmm.
101 years now. So that's when the 16th Amendment was ratified. The Congress shall have power to lay and collect taxes and income from whatever source derived without apportionment among the several states and without regard to any census or enumeration. So in other words, they can just tax your wages, your income.
Exactly. And the key word that you mentioned is that gave Congress legal authority to tax, which, if I understand,
correct,
they are the only ones that can create a federal tax, not the Supreme Court, which is probably an argument for another day.
Correct. And the Constitution is clear and says that the Congress has the right to levy taxes. And it also says that the taxes that they levy, although I do believe that they're talking more tariffs, shall be uniform.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if we took that over to our income tax, it's not uniform. And the idea of a flat tax, the problem is you've got people that go, well, it should just be 15% of what I earn. Well, having a federal sales tax solves some issues, and that those people that work under the table is no longer going to be outside of state law in an illegal event.
Okay.
So, and they're going to spend their money.
And
right? So somebody works under the table and then takes that money, let's say that they're painting a house, and it could just be somebody just wanting to work under the table. It could just be, hey, you know, friend, will you paint my house for me and I'll pay you a couple $100? Friend says, yeah, I'm going to do that. And they take that money, and they're going to go buy something with it, most likely at the store. It's going to be taxed.
Right. Exactly.
So the revenue would actually increase.
Well, and that brings up the question. Now, I've heard other economists state that if you lower the tax rate, you will put more money into the consumer's hands, which will get it
mm-hmm.
circulating going, and the government itself will take a short hit as far as income, but will gain in the long run.
they would gain in the long run once we hit that consumer equilibrium. What I mean is once the consumer feels confident again that, yes, I can go out and I can buy that TV or other consumables, which would, of course, increase manufacturing.
Uh-huh.
And so when we increase manufacturing, we increase jobs, we increase the income tax. Well, let's just do away with the income tax. Let's go to the sales tax. People have more money to spend because their checks are bigger. Now they will, you'll see the same effect.
Exactly. I mean, I remember back when I was an employer and I figured out how much, as an employer, it cost me for a minimum wage employee, you know, what is going out versus how much they were getting gross. And it is just amazing in how much total amount is going to taxes versus the end result of how much the employee actually gets to keep.
Right, right. It's a huge difference. And I've heard, I actually had one person say to me, Robin, that, well, if you did a sales tax, then I would become a tax collector for the government. Well, guess what? As a business owner, you already are.
Right.
Because you're collecting an income tax. And the Medicare tax and the Social Security tax. So you're already a tax collector. Now, you just eliminated a portion of that tax collection because now you're not going to do it off of their taxes. The only ones that would, well, yeah, I mean, directly. I mean, each business that's going to buy something, yes, they're still going to have that. So it's semantics. You're just switching from one column to another in all reality.
And when you're talking about the level of being taxed, I don't know about outside of Lane County here, but we have, and I didn't know this until I became a business owner, we actually have a personal income, a personal property tax. And
mm-hmm.
when I owned my business and I found out about it the hard way when I got the bill, and they said that you have to put a value on your bathroom supplies, yeah. including toilet paper. And they weren't kidding.
Right. Right. Yeah, so, and the states have the right to do that because the voters, the citizens allow them to do that instead of pushing back.
Exactly. But a lot of people don't know this. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, so let's take this revenue, because that's what taxes are,
right.
to the next logical step. The government, the federal government, state, city, county, they all need to, but we're going to talk at the federal government level.
Okay.
It's got to start living within their means. Instead of taxing, we have created in this country class warfare.
Right.
Why? Why are people who are super successful expected to pay so much of their income? Somebody sent me a tweet last week, and my percentages, I'm going to tell you guys, are not 100% accurate, but they're really close. The top 1% of wage earners in the country pay about 38%, let's say 35% for rounder numbers, percent of the total federal income tax collected. The top 10% pay about 75 to 78%. Now, what this person said, well, wait a minute. If the top 1% are paying 38 and the top 10% are paying 78, that's more than 100%. Well, the top 1% is part of the top 10%. So we'll make that clear. So let's just say that the top 10% of wage earners in the United States are paying 75% of all federal income taxes collected.
Mm-hmm.
Why do we want to penalize them more?
No, it comes to the point that somebody will go, why am I in business if I'm not being able to keep some of my money?
Yeah. Why? They're already, you know, you have to pay your fair share. Well, define your fair share. If they're paying 38% of their own income and you're paying 15% of your own income, why is that their fair share and paying 15% of the lower income bracket is not fair?
Mm-hmm.
See what I'm saying? Doesn't make sense. Again, that's why as a consumption or a sales tax, you get to decide how much you're going to pay in taxes based on what you consume.
Exactly. That brings up like the one of the arguments that Jesse Ventura made, that he would like to do away with the federal income tax and change it to a federal sales tax. Now, when I first heard that, you know, the word sales tax, I went, no. But when he explained it, he says, under the current system now, the government gets your money before you get your money.
Yep.
And his idea is that you get your money first, and that puts the government more directly involved in the economy, because if you can't afford to buy anything, you're not spending any money, and that means less money to the government.
Exactly. And the government needs to learn to live on less. Let's talk about the budget.
Okay.
If we may.
We may.
The House and Senate just passed a budget bill with no concessions.
Yes. I wanted to get to that.
Excuse me. Let me rephrase that. It wasn't a budget bill. There is no cap on spending. So the federal government, those people that we elect, or that are elected by the majority of the voters, are spending over $1 trillion a year more than what they are taking in tax revenues.
Yeah.
And tax revenues include tariffs and fees. For example, if you go to a federal park, you may have to pay for a pass for parking. That's a fee.
Right.
Let me put $1 trillion into a way that people might be able to conceive what I'm saying, because we hear these numbers and we cannot understand what does that mean, because we have no basis. Most of us can understand $1 million. If a person makes $100,000 a year, it would take them 10 years to have earned $1 million. They make $50,000 a year, over 20 years they will have earned $1 million.
Right.
$25,000 a year, et cetera. It would take them 40 years to earn $1 million. So $1 million is something that we can much easier grasp.
Uh-huh.
But $1 trillion. So, Robin, here's my question for you.
Okay.
I'm going to give you, are you ready for this? You're going to be so excited. I'm going to give you $1 million every day.
Okay.
To spend.
Okay.
How many years before you get to, how many years will it take for you to spend $1 trillion? Every day I'm going to give you $1 million a day.
$1 trillion, it would probably take me probably less than a year.
$1 trillion at $1 million a day.
But then again, I can't imagine even how many zeros are in a million, much less a trillion.
Yeah, exactly. So there's 6 zeros,
right,
in a million. It would take you 2,739 years to spend $1 trillion.
Right.
At $1 million a day.
A problem I'd like to have, but...
2,700 years.
Right.
And our federal government is spending $1 trillion every year more than what they are bringing in.
This would be just like handing somebody a credit card and say, here, go charge it. Don't worry about the limit because there is none. And then coming back to you and going, you know, a year later and going, oh, by the way, did I mention that you have to pay this back? It would be impossible. Because if there's no limit, you're not gonna be conservative on the money.
You're not. And so when we take a look, okay, so then what does this mean to the consumer out there? And this is one of the reasons, folks, that I'm running for the United States Senate. My background as a financial planner and helping people with their budgets and showing them how to get out of debt. When they have income, you've got to have income to get out of debt. It's a strange thing. You can't get out of debt unless you file bankruptcy without an income. There's no way around it. And by the way, filing bankruptcy is not illegal. It's legal. Okay, so as of today, right now, I'm looking at usdebtclock.org.
Mm-hmm.
The current U.S. national debt is $17.3 trillion, and going up by, it's amazing watching this debt clock. The debt per citizen is $54,590.
So far.
The debt per taxpayer is $150,288. That's on the current debt.
Right.
Okay, so I have 10 grandchildren and 2 adult children, and me and my husband. But let's just take the 10 grandkids. Their debt, each of them, is $54,590. Now, I don't know about you. I cannot write a check to help my little grandchildren from the ages of 12 weeks up to 13 years old to write a $54,590 check to the federal government, which, by the way, that's my money anyway that they've spent,
right,
and your money. The future unfunded liabilities, and I'm looking for that number on here. Here we go, because I've been low on the number, so I'd rather be low than high. This is the current U.S. unfunded liabilities, $127 trillion.
Okay. I got a really tough question for you. By the way, we're speaking with Joe Ray Perkins, running for U.S. Senate. All those numbers, you know, we hear that a lot. But I'm going to go back to a question that totally floored me by a coworker when we were talking about Memorial Day, and when she asked, what is it, why should I care? We hear about these $1 trillion of debt, and so as an individual, you know, especially like in today's society, how does that affect me right now?
Well, how that affects you is it ties right into inflation.
Mm-hmm.
And inflation, and this is not an easy concept, I'm not going to try to explain it, is called a hidden tax. And I'm going to recommend a great book to people, and I'll warn you ahead of time, it's over 600 pages, and it took me 3 years to read it because of what I read. I had to digest it all. It's called The Creature from Jekyll Island. It is one of the best books out there, The Creature from Jekyll Island. And he explains how all of this works in much better detail than I can. But inflation is called the hidden tax. So they have to inflate the numbers in order to pay for this thing. And when numbers are inflated, the dollar is inflated, our purchasing power declines. And that's why we should care. Because the federal government is telling the Treasury Department to print more money. It's all fake money. I don't want to upset people, but your money is, what's it backed by?
Nothing.
Absolutely nothing. So a pencil is worth whatever it is that you're willing to pay me for it, right?
Right. Same thing.
So
right?
it could be a dollar, it could be a dime.
Right.
I know that when I started to drive, when I got my license in 1972, gas was about 35 cents a gallon.
Mm-hmm.
I filled up last night and paid $3.90 a gallon.
Yes. And how much of that is taxes?
Of that, the federal tax is 18.4 cents a gallon. So we are already paying a federal sales tax.
Well, as they say, if you follow the dollar, for each... Well, somebody came up with it. They followed the dollar one time, figured out that $1 is equal to, I don't know, 10 times that in taxes at one point, or something similar to that in rough round figures. But since we're up to coming up on the clock here, I have a question that really wanted to get your feedback on. As you referred to recently, the increase in the debt ceiling, which it seemed like this time there wasn't even any arguments. They, like Congress, just rolled over and said, sure, why not? They didn't put up any fight at all. What's your feeling on that?
Very frustrated. So here's what has happened is they said, well, the Republican Party said, well, not all of them. Well, the last time that we said no and we did this 17% government shutdown, and I do know people that it affected directly.
Uh-huh.
Mostly in the military, and if they were in between assignments, such as my campaign manager's husband, who's in the Army National Guard, did not get the money back because he was in between his assignments. So I know that it affected people directly. But what happened is the Republican Party went, oh, well, see, we look like the bad guys because we refused to fund the Affordable Care Act, for example.
Right.
So what they were doing is they were passing spending bills that were cleaner spending bills instead of having these bills that are all full of stuff. They're passing much cleaner spending bills, which I am a fan of. This time around, they said, well, we don't want to look like the bad guys because we're coming up on election. We want to get reelected. Well, here's the problem. They still look like the bad guys because now the Republican Party rolled over.
Right.
And I'm a Republican. So this is very frustrating to me to have them just roll over and go, oh, well, we want to make sure that we get reelected. Here's the deal. If our elected senators and our elected representatives are not willing to stick to their job as defined by the Constitution, 18 specific areas, then when it comes time to voting, they need to be fired.
Exactly. Exactly.
So it's very frustrating. They're not doing the job of that the people have hired them to do. Their job is not to provide for grants, a $1 million grant to study romance novels. Really? Why is my tax money going to study romance novels? Not the job of the federal government.
Exactly, and we can get into a whole long discussion on that. Joe Ray, again, I appreciate you coming on the program. How can people get a hold of you and your website, et cetera?
Okay, my website is PerkinsForUSSenate.com, PerkinsForUSSenate.com. They can also go to OregonNextSenator.com if that's easier for people to remember. But PerkinsForUSSenate.com, I've got my issues on there. My biography is on there. It's amazing. I was amazed when I sat down and wrote down my bio. Views on several issues, as I mentioned. My contact page is on there. People want to volunteer. People want to donate. All those links are there on my website. So I want people to know that I am for Oregon, and I am for America. And this is the time that we need somebody who is not part of the political machinery. Unlike Ted Cruz, Mike Lee, Rand Paul, and others that are in Washington, D.C., they're saying we have a constitution that is the supreme law of the land, and I want to see our republic saved, and we need to stop going down the socialist-communist road that the country's heading down.
Absolutely. Well, again, I appreciate you coming on the program. I hope that you'll come back and again, and answer, and people, if you have any questions for Joe Ray, again, check her out on PerkinsForUSSenate.com. Check her out on Facebook. Send us an email, talk@caribbeanradio.com, and we'll forward that to Joe Ray. And again, Joe Ray, thank you so much for coming on the program, and we hope that you'll come back.
Thank you, Robin. Have a great day.
And we are back live. That was Joe Ray Perkins, who graced to give us an interview earlier today. And again, check her out, PerkinsForUSSenate.com. That's Perkins, FORUSSenate.com. And if you have any questions, you can call right now or comment 646-721-9887. Cliff.
And if we talk to us, we'll be able to answer any possible questions you might have about anything because we know it all.
That you have, that you would like to talk about.
You know, I have a bit of a
yes,
something to say about what Joe Ray had to say. She says our money is not backed by anything. Well, that's not true. It is backed by the United States, and that's got to be the most important thing there is. I mean, there is no country as strong as, no country as big as, no country is as sure to make their money worthwhile as this one.
Yeah.
And so the United States, the money is backed by the United States. I mean, it may not be backed by silver bars or may not be backed by
gold
or whatever, but it is backed by the United States. So it's not that it's just out there and open to anybody, because that's why everybody in the world uses our money, or at least they did. I understand that China is kind of giving us a run for our money at this point, but up to this time, everybody in the world has based their everything on the United States money and United States currency.
Which, thanks to this administration, that's one of the reasons why they're thinking about changing. As well as our credit rating is falling as well, so it's very shameful.
Well, see, this administration is only 8 years, and we've only got about 2.5 years left to go of it. And things are going to change. And I hate to say this, but things are going to change. We're not going to be stuck with Obama and his policies forever. The simple fact is he doesn't have any policy because he doesn't know what it is. He doesn't know how to do it. He's completely lost as far as running the country is concerned. He doesn't know what he's doing, and he's leaving it to other people. He's leaving it to different senators and so on. And he, it's okay because he's only – see, that's the one thing that saved our country. I mean, we don't have our president there for 90 years or 80 years or 60 years. He's only there for a maximum of 8 years. And ready or not, it may sound like it's almost impossible to repair the damages that he can do in 8 years, but it's not impossible. It's very possible, and we're going to do it. So I don't panic too much about that. I get a little upset at allowing him to do some of the crap that he's pulling, but I guess at this point he's over the hump. I mean, we're not going to elect him for anything else. We're not going to rely on him to do anything else, and he may turn out to be another Clinton. I mean, let's face it, Mr. Clinton was absolutely despised while he was there. He didn't do anything hardly right, but now he's revered. And everybody loves him. So maybe that's what he'll turn out to be. I don't know. But he's not going to be doing it on his own merits, that's for sure.
Well, one thing I would like to know is that after this presidency, if it ever ends, you know, because they're thinking themselves as royalty. I mean, even because as people know that on The Tonight Show, it just changed hands from Jay Leno to Jimmy Kimmel. Or something like that. And Michelle Obama appeared on the new Tonight Show doing a skit with Will Ferrell and Jimmy Fallon. And, you know, after they're gone, their luxurious life superstar style is going to be, who the hell are you?
Well, I don't know that their lifestyle is going to change. It may not. But their status and as far as who they are and what they represent, that's going to change, that's for sure.
Right. Well, I'd like to change the regime, but unfortunately, you know, the people that are starting to rumor to step up to the place to take their place. I mean, like they're pushing, for example, now Hillary Clinton has not said that she's going to run again, but I don't know if she really wants to run, but they want her to run because one thing that they've really enjoyed over the last 6 years now, something like that, is you can't criticize the president because you'd be racist. Well, if they put a woman president in there now, it's like you can't criticize the president because you're sexist.
Well, you know, somebody was talking about criticizing the president just today on television and yesterday on television. But I don't think they consider it because he's racist, because they do it. You're criticizing the office is bad taste, not because they're racist, just because it's the office. However, the thing is, that's the thing we have the ability to do. That's the thing we have the liberty to do is criticize the president. We criticize anyone and anything. I mean, that's the thing that we get to do that other people don't get to do. We can criticize our government. We can criticize absolutely anything, and it doesn't get us in trouble. And consequently, I think that's good. I mean, that's the one thing that we need to have. We need to be able to speak our voice, speak our opinions, make our opinions known. You and I can make our opinions known because we're in the United States and not somewhere else. And it's a good thing, not a bad thing. So I don't mind having that president there, whether stupid or not. And it's obvious that he is because he doesn't know what he's doing. He doesn't know when he talks. He doesn't know what's happening around him, and he literally doesn't. And you can make it, you can say that he does, but I am absolutely positive that he doesn't, because he just doesn't show any indication that he knows what he's doing. And he keeps on doing it anyway. And it's really too sad. It's really too sad that he's allowing him to do these things.
Well,
that he does.
That's one question that I'd like to put on to Joe Ray or any other guest that's we have on, or even the general public out there that may be more knowledgeable than me, is we have a constitution which is supposed to regulate and govern, you know, under the restrictions of the constitution. That we hear, like the argument you're just saying, the president doesn't know, or this is being passed. I will use the Obamacare penalties as an example. The as Joe Ray and I talked about, that only Congress can enact a tax, but in this case, the Supreme Court did. How is that legal? And if it's not legal, how is it enforced? So when the president, for example, is coming out and saying, "I will do this," and everybody else is saying that's not constitutional, how are they able to, if it's not legal, I don't understand how they're able to do it.
Because nobody's stopping them. Nobody has the, I'm going to say guts, but at the same time I'm thinking in terms of knowledge to do so. They don't know how to go about it. And they don't have enough interest in the possibility to go learn how to do about it. So consequently, just let it happen. And a lot of us are doing that, not just a couple of us, but an awful lot of us are doing the let it go, let somebody else worry about it, let George do it, whoever George is.
Right, until he hits you in the face. 646-721-9887, by the way, if you'd like to comment on this or anything else that's on your mind. The problem is that, as I'm saying, that about in your face, for example, Obamacare, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of people that are just going, still going, well, I'm not going to sign up for it. Why in the hell should I? Well, how's it going to affect me? Well, as I've been harping on for quite a while, you know, 2014, this year is when the penalties start. And when I had my taxes done this year, by the way, I'm lucky enough that I have a job and my job has insurance that qualifies. Remember, I always said qualifying health care. If I did not, based on my income, this year, I would have had to pay a $400 penalty if I did not have health insurance. Now remember, the part of the penalty this year, because it goes into full effect 2016, is either $95 per person or 1% of your yearly income, depending on how you're comparing it.
Well, see, 1% of my yearly income, it doesn't sound like very much, does it?
If you're poor, I mean, I'm lucky I got enough money back on my taxes to write a check to pay my property taxes this year with nothing left over. But here's the thing, is that I would like to, let's just take this scenario. Say, Cliff, you decide you want to start a business, Cliff Enterprises, mm-hmm. for example, okay, and you're going to sell exotic widgets.
Exotic widgets,
not just your everyday widgets, but exotic widgets.
All right, I'm
okay. Anybody that has started a business before knows that you're taking on a huge risk. There's a lot of expense involved. In fact, it's 5 years is what they say an average business can actually start taking money out of the business. And a lot of businesses fail. Well. Okay, so you're on a limited budget. You're watching your pennies. Now all of a sudden, because you don't have health insurance, because again you can't afford it, you're living on a shoestring, and now you got a $2,000 plus penalty at the end of the year on top of everything else that you have to try and get going. Now again, what happens if you can't pay that penalty? What if you don't have the money? What happens?
Well. I guess I'm looking at it at a different angle, because I know that's something I have to pay, whether I pay it in the terms of the penalty or whether I pay it in terms of my insurance policy. I'm going to have to pay it, so I should budget for it.
Okay, that's assuming you can only budget if you have the income to budget.
If I don't have the income to budget, then I'm doing something wrong. I shouldn't be where I am. I shouldn't be in the business I'm in. I should start over.
Okay. Well, like I say, businesses fail. People fail. You can have a job, and the way the economy is, you could have a job and tomorrow not have a job. But yet you could be in that position where if you are beyond, I believe it's a 3-month window, now you're of not having insurance, you know, you can still get hit with a penalty, and because the IRS is involved, you know, they're not going to say, well, sorry, Mr. Cliff, you know, you don't have the money we've built for you, but you still owe us $2,000 this year, and if you don't pay it, then, you know, we're going to come after you.
Well, you know, the thing is, everybody sits around and quivers at the thought of the IRS doing anything, IRS sending you a letter, IRS coming after you, IRS this, IRS that. They just shake in their boots at the thought of a name. I don't. I'd just as soon sue the IRS and try to go after it. Suing the United States government is not impossible. There are people who do that, who make a living doing that, and winning, by the way, not just losing, because you can indeed sue the United States government or the IRS. So, you know, I look at it a little differently than you do. I don't think that being in trouble or being poor and not having enough money on hand for something is the end of my road.
Well, okay. How are you going to manage to do it? You can only sue the government if it allows you to sue it.
Oh, no. Then I can sue you without you allowing me to sue you.
Well, yeah. I mean, anybody can sue. Look, please don't.
Well, the government is no different. The government is absolutely no different. You can sue the government whether it wants to be sued or not, and win, by the way. If you have the proper lawyer and the proper law behind you, and you're doing things, again, use the word properly, because I don't have that good of... But you can do it. It can be done, and they can't stop you. They can try to say no, and they can try to say, put it up, but there is a point where you can, you know, the money is there. You can go out and get it.
Well, I know you can take it up all the way to the Supreme Court if you can get them, convince them to hear your case. It's up to them if they want to or not.
Well, I don't have the ability, the knowledge to be able to put this to good use because I don't know. But I was watching a thing on television today with a lawyer, and I don't know his name, and I don't know what program he was on. It's on one of the news programs, who does that for a living and has won with cases against the government, the United States, and the IRS. It's possible to do. The IRS is not all-encompassing. The IRS is not the end-all to end-all. You can get them. I don't have that tremendous fear of them that some people seem to have.
Well, and the IRS can also make your life a living hell, too, if they decide to.
Oh, yes. And the thing is, if you're poor and if you're, you know, suing them because you don't have the money to do anything else, then you can sue them and make them support you at the same time.
Yeah. Or everybody can move to Mexico. They seem to be...
No, in Mexico, you don't want to move to Mexico because in Mexico, you don't have that ability to make the government pay you. You don't, you know, if you're absolutely broke and you have no money coming in and you're dying and starving to death, you can go into the office of somebody. I mean, there are two or three or four places that you can go to and get money and get, if not money, at least the food to live on and so on and so forth. But, and if you have an attorney that will continue to process your suit, you can continue to sue the government and make them pay you.
Yeah, you got subsidized housing, you got...
Subsidized everything. But that's in this country, not in Mexico. Not in Mexico, you don't.
Right.
There may be some other countries that have close to as much as we have, but that's why this is the country that everybody wants to be from. And this is why our money means something.
Right. 646-721-9887. We've got 34 minutes remaining in the program. Plenty of time to give us a call and tell us what you're on your mind. Have you had experience with the penalties on Obamacare yet? Have you been able to sign up? It would be, also be a good question. And Cliff, also one of his items he wanted to touch on, too, and I want to be sure to get some time in here. Cliff, you wanted to touch a little bit on the Olympics.
Well, yeah, we've been spending 2 years, 2 months, 2 weeks. I'll get it out. People of us who care and who do watch television a little. It's on television, and it's not absolutely everywhere. It's only on three channels at once, but it is on three channels. And it's amazing because things are happening. And it's we've been going and watching skating. There's all different kinds of things that are going on, but let's get down to the basics here. The games were in Sochi, which is a country, a city, I guess, in Russia. It may even be a country in Russia. But they've basically gone on for a long time now, 2 weeks now, and we've covered a little of everything. But the one thing everybody's yelling about in Sochi is it's kind of a they put it together real fast. Russia built the buildings, built the hotels, built everything, and consequently, it's not all completely done. You shower in cold water because they don't have it all finished. Brown water, for that matter, in most of the hotels because they haven't got everything finished when they just put everything in there. But basically, they've got it together, and they've made a place for them to have these games. And millions of people have watched these games, and actually millions and millions of people because they were broadcast on television in more places than any other. This is more people have seen these Olympics than any other Olympics in the past. This is the very first time that they have done this, and they've been looking and seeing what's going on. Russians are going to make a real big thing out of the fact that this was in Russia, and of course there's the next 4 years it will go somewhere else, and it'll be somewhere else. But it's who knows as to what's going to happen. I'm sort of trying to find my place here and not finding it. But it's a lot of things are the sheer cost and size and scale of the Sochi Olympics has outstripped everything that's ever gone on before the Olympics. In any of the Olympics, because the Winter Games is usually the one that it's the cheap one. The expensive one is the Summer Olympics, but the Winter Olympics in this particular case has really been out in the front of things. Putin has been putting on a big show, and who knows how long it's going to take him to gather up the end of the thing. I mean, he's got a lot to catch up with. This whole thing is in Sochi is part of a Black Sea resort region. I've lived up on the Black Sea. I was in Turkey, which is right on the Black Sea, and it's a beautiful place. This Black Sea is not black at all. The water is absolutely gorgeous. It's just very, very blue and very pretty, and the sand is white. So they've got a nice place there, but they've spent a lot of money trying to make it even better. And who knows? Let's face it, are we going to have another games or not? Because the public has to support this somehow or another. The public has to support it. I mean, almost every other country other than maybe Russia. And ultimately Russia, the public has to support it there too. But in Russia, they can go ahead as a country, or Putin himself, can say, okay, spend $51 billion or whatever it happens to be. And by the way, that's what it is that they supposedly spent, $51 billion. You want to talk about dollar signs and zeros and how many it takes to do anything. There you go. There's a big one. But it's going to cost them some time and some effort to pay that off, and they're going to have to do it. But is anybody else ready to spend that much money on the next games? I mean, that's an awful lot of money to try to put together and put. I suppose the United States could do that, $51 billion. That's not impossible for us to do. But how many other countries can gather together that much money and cash to do another same thing? I mean, most of the times they've got to build roadways and railways and hotels and other things in order to get ready for it. And because this is bringing millions of people in that weren't there before. So it's an interesting thing. The 2022 Winter Olympics has changed from Munich to San Moritz. Oh, it's Davos. Because they had...
It is big money for the cities and countries that host them.
Yeah, I don't know. I just can't conceive of it myself, and yet they're talking about doing it, so more power to them. I mean, that's interesting, to say the least. But I don't know. I'm looking forward to it. It's fun. And it's kind of, you sit back and watch it. And the Winter Olympics has been kind of, to me, it's kind of, I don't know, I don't want to say anticlimactic, but if you get right down to it, the only thing I see a few people skiing downhill, which is really not too much interesting to me. I assume to the people who are in it, that's a lot of fun. And then I also see some people going around and round and round on a skating rink. That's okay. And then the one thing I see the most is this, what do they call it? You've got four rinks and you're circles, and you're supposed to, it's a game where it's just putting rocks in circles. Whoopee. I mean, that's a big thing. And I can think of other things to do with my time, but I guess there's big money in it. They're going over and over and over. I mean, that's constantly what I see is red circles and green circles and putting rocks in the middle of them and hoping for the purple. I mean, we spent thousands and thousands of dollars, I'm sure, dressing people and putting people there and getting them to the place that they're supposed to go and helping them out. And they've got to practice and do things like that. Somewhere or another, they have to make it. Now, of course, the United States, the interesting thing is those same people that are doing this have to have a job. In other countries, the country themselves supports them, and they don't have to have a job. But in the United States, you got to have a job as well as go out and throw your rocks on your own time and in your own way and learn how to do it. So it's, I think, twice as hard for the people in the United States to do these, any kind of game at the Olympics, because they've got to work twice. They've got to do two jobs at once. That's most people. I suppose that some of the people have enough money or have support of their parents or something of that sort, or have somebody support them while they do nothing but do the practicing and things that has done the thing. You know, interesting, the X Games, I don't know if you've heard of the X Games. They've been on television before, and because of them, the Olympics have become more popular, gotten more people involved. So it's, I don't know, interesting that the Olympics are still, I don't know how long they'll last. I'm afraid they're going to probably run out, but I don't know how long. It's going to be a while before they run out, but I don't see the Olympics gaining popularity, although, I don't know, I haven't heard of them not being popular for some reason or other. Anyway, so much.
See, but like you say, you know, will we support them or not, and how popular that they are? 646-721-9887, we still have roughly about 24 minutes remaining in the program. A few other things coming up. We had our special guest on the program earlier, Ms. Jo Rae Perkins, who's running for U.S. Senate. And, again, if you have any questions that you would like to pass on, send us an email, talk@krbnradio.com, and check her out. You can send us an email and just say hi, too. We love getting hi emails.
Yeah.
Of course, I don't know how you handle an email that's hi, but that's beside the point.
Oh, by the way, I didn't mention that the Summer Olympics this year are going to be in Beijing. So I don't know if they make money or not, but I'm sure they've got to make more money than the Winter Olympics.
So you're saying book your tickets now?
Yeah. If you can, well, I don't know. Beijing kind of scares me because if they get mad, they can tell you not, you can't come in. Or if they've got you in there, if they get mad, they can keep you there, so. I don't know. I don't think I'd want to go to Beijing for anything, the Winter Olympics or anything. I'm pretty well happy staying right near home and living here. So rather than trying to go a long place away, it's kind of scary.
Speaking of home, a few items at home. What do you say we do? What the heck?
Okay. Have you got one?
I've got a couple, actually.
You've got to be kidding me. What the heck were they thinking? Can you actually believe they did that?
It's Robin's What the Heck Are They Thinking Award, where Robin picks out some of the dumbest and most ridiculous headlines of the week. And now, with this week's picks, here's Robin.
Okay, besides the Oregon legislature, which is always good for a laugh, there's other things that always quickly, easily to find on the internet, and I bring this up from time to time on the program, and that's, I should change the intro to stupid things to get suspended for, which I should actually add the echo effect to the program. Anyways, I hate echo effects. Anyways, I got two on my little list here, and some of these are just, I don't know. We've talked before about the poor kid that happened to get suspended for nibbling a Pop-Tart the wrong way. How about the 10-year-old who got suspended from school for mimicking shooting an arrow?
Shooting an arrow. Shooting. Again, he just did this, just a mime.
Yeah, he just went ahead and pretended that he had a bow and arrow in his hand and just drew it back and twink.
Well, now, why didn't they consider him that wasn't bad? He was the little guy that, the little naked dude that runs around and shoots people.
Cupid,
yeah.
Yes.
Cupid's a nice guy.
I don't know. But anyways, 10-year-old has been suspended from school and threatened with expulsion for firing a make-believe arrow at a classmate, prompting a rights group to step in and demand the incident be stricken from the record.
Somebody demanded the incident be stricken from the record?
Yeah, civil rights group.
I'm all for that.
Yes.
That's the smart thing to do. It should never have gotten on the record in the first place. But it definitely should be stricken from the record because that's ridiculous.
I agree. The Rutherford Institute, say that five times fast, and I know you a civil liberties watchdog group has intervened in the case of Johnny Jones, a fifth grader from Southeastern Middle School in Fawn Grove, Pennsylvania, who found himself in trouble after violating the school's zero-tolerance policy on weapons by miming the action of shooting an arrow from a bow with only his hands.
Okay, you can't have a zero tolerance policy against your hands. This is getting ridiculous. A zero tolerance policy against thinking about weapons is not a policy at all. That can't be enforced. So,
well, the school is saying that. What happened is that the. According to the report, Jones was in class when a classmate held up his folder like an imaginary gun and shot at him while he was retrieving a pencil from the teacher. When Jones drew back the strings of the imaginary bow and shot back, A girl in the class alerted the teacher. The teacher then passed the matter on to the principal, saying that firearms had been involved in the play fighting. Sure enough, according to the article, instead of using common sense, the principal suspended Jones for a day, contacted the boy's parents, and threatened expulsions for making a threat to another student using a replica or representation of a firearm.
And the representation of a firearm is just the idea of...
an imaginary bow and arrow.
That's insane. That's just absolutely insane. The first place, the principal should be fired. The teacher should be fired. They have no common sense. And we don't need people like that in our educational system. I mean, that is absolutely ridiculous. Kids have been shooting bow and arrows or fake bow and arrows. Kids have been shooting fake guns and bullets and things for a million years. They're not going to stop them now. I mean, we spend billions and billions of dollars on all of our TV shows showing you what it's like to shoot a gun and sometimes a bow and arrow. But the thing is, we teach them to do it. And we teach them extremely well, and then we get upset when they do.
Yeah,
I mean,
like the old thing about cowboys and Native Americans.
Well, that's a possibility too. But even you know, even guns different shows where it doesn't have to be cowboys and Indians. It has to be even people. Just I don't know. I'm very upset about it. I think we need to first of all, really have a good talking to our educational system to find out how some of these people who have no imagination and who have no business teaching our children, what are they doing there? None, you know, let's face it, we've got to have more people out there waiting in line to get a job than trying to keep these same people in there that have no idea what they're doing.
Now, welcome to Politically Correct Society, which brings me to item number two. This one is goes to Canyon City, Colorado, which Hunter Yelton, I hope I'm saying the name correctly, was forbidden from coming to school on Monday. Okay, are you sitting down?
I'm sitting down.
Okay. What he did was really totally tragic. I mean, this is, okay, I'm building this up for a reason. This is a six-year-old boy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, suspended from school.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because you think using an imaginary arrow was really bad.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what he did was so tragic. I'm sure it sent fear into the hearts of anybody who has ever heard of what
you are building this up, aren't you?
Building this up. What he had done here, I mean, I'm sure that parents complained like crazy. They probably threatened to pull their kids out of school, that send half of them to counseling because of what this child did. This six-year-old boy did in school was so tragic that it even made the news.
I assume it did, or we wouldn't be talking about it.
That is a fact right there. Are you ready for it?
I've been ready for it for the last 10 minutes.
Okay. What he did is that during class, during a
reading... He picked his nose.
Oh, worse than that. picking your nose, that would have been perfectly acceptable. But no. What he did was totally tragic. In this reading group, he leaned over and kissed a girl on the cheek.
He kissed a girl on the cheek. He didn't even kiss her on the lips.
Kissed her on the cheek.
Well, that could be real tragic because that could lead to an absolute. The boy could be ruined for life. His whole sexual being could be messed up because, you know, he kissed a girl and she didn't say no.
Well, yeah, actually, it doesn't say how she.
She may, you know,
she probably is going to be traumatized for life, and plus, you know, this poor kid here. And anyways, speaking of traumatizing, you know, the...
Well, just out of curiosity, what did they do to him?
Well, they suspended him, for one.
They actually did suspend him.
Actually suspended him.
That could be trauma. You know, that could traumatize him for life.
Yes. And I'm scanning the article here. Yeah, he actually did get a suspension over it, and...
In the first place, I can't believe of a six-year-old. I can't believe of anything that would make me suspend a six-year-old. I mean, I just can't conceive of a six-year-old being suspended.
Well, it gets better than that. The six-year-old, according to the article, the six-year-old was suspended from school in Colorado for kissing a classmate on the cheek because his principal considered it sexual harassment.
Is the principal male or female?
It does not give the principal's name.
That's figures. That's insane. That's just absolutely insane. Any principal that has nothing better to do with his time than suspend a six-year-old. I'll bet you chances are there are six-year-olds that go ahead and beat up another six-year-old and they don't get suspended.
Hunter's mom, Jennifer, said the school's decision to suspend Hunter for a day was an outrageous overreaction in that her son and the girl are boyfriend and girlfriend. She also comments that this is taking it to the extreme that doesn't need to be met with a six-year-old, she told KRDO. Now my son is asking questions like, what is sex, mommy? This should not have ever been said. Sex is not a sentence with a six-year-old.
Well, I agree. It shouldn't have to come up, but I hope she's answering it legitimately. I hope she's just not lying to him and feeding him some sort of a fairy tale answer, because that's going to be bad for him too. So many people have these simple little ridiculous answers that mean virtually nothing that they pass on to kids when they ask a legitimate question, and when make sure you know the question before you answer it too, because you know it could mean something else to the kid than it does to you entirely.
Well, it brings back the point like you're saying about being terrified. I mean, it was a very innocent little peck on the cheek or whatever like that. But now is the kid going to be so terrified that any movement or whatever that...
My opinion of this whole thing has changed just a bit since you've continued reading, because you say that the mother has admitted that this girl is his girlfriend. At 6 years old, I don't know many kids that have girlfriends. I mean, usually most boys at 6 years old, girls are dirty to them, just ugly. I mean,
that's the thing. You know, your definition, our definition of boyfriend girlfriend is a little bit different than a definition of a 6 year old's boyfriend girlfriend.
Yeah, I think it is. I agree, and I don't know that I accept her being the one to make the definition on that. Most of the time, girls and boys have a different idea. You know, a girlfriend is a friend who's a girl. I mean, that's all.
Exactly. Or that could just be the interpretation of the parent. Who knows? Just because, you know, they could just be friends and whatever. But still, it's just, you know, to be suspended for that is like, come.
Oh, it's just ridiculous. Just absolutely ridiculous. And we need to find, you know, we need to come up with some people who can use their imagination a little better than that. I mean, the adults that can use their imagination a little better than that. An adult that can come up with an answer to what to say about it or what to do about it, other than suspending a child or screaming at a child. You know, for that matter, I don't believe that even at 6 years old, sitting down and talking about it as an adult is wrong too, because like you say, their idea of what's a girlfriend and what's a boyfriend, it's probably totally different than ours. And we are adults, and we have our ideas of what is what, and there's not much we can do about it. So just shut up and leave it alone.
Well, take it a step further. Okay, let's fast forward 20 years. You're going to get a job, and the question comes up, have you ever been suspended from school? Yes, sir, it's on my student record of being suspended. What for? Sexual harassment.
Yeah, really, that's the ridiculous. To call it sexual harassment, that's the adult's way of putting it, and it has nothing to do with what the kid was doing.
Right, exactly. And again, you know, like the kid asked, "Mommy, what's sex?" Well,
right.
It can be a very bad thing. But
yeah, really.
It can, never mind. It can be very costly. But no.
Anyway,
the whole point is of all of this stuff, like they used to say, what happened to the three R's? And, now we're getting crazy, between, No Child Left Behind, Zero Tolerance,
Reading, writing, arithmetic, and rape.
And rape.
I mean, that's about what we're getting to. I mean, we're just jumping off into the wild blue and jumping from ridiculous, from nothing to absolutely encompassing everything. It's just insane. We should just not even be. This should never even hit the media at all, because it's not part of what a little kid that's 6 years old should be worried about.
Right, and they're wondering why kids are going ballistic now and shooting up schools, which I don't know if that's more than ever now because maybe it's being reported more. But again, it's just like the study with mice. You put a bunch of mice in a small area and have tight control. They're going to react somewhat violently. Well, now, kids, compared to like where you and I are growing up, where we could actually have the freedom to ride a bike and let the air blow through our hair, and I demand my right to get a bruise. They don't have that. They don't even have that freedom anymore.
To cover your body up. You can't even fall down.
Yeah, and you learn from falling down.
That's true.
I learned that if I didn't put the front wheel on my bike tight and it comes off, it's going to hurt.
Yeah, yeah. And run over a certain bush, it's not going to go well at all.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And I'm from experience, by the way.
Yeah. It's amazing what we're doing to the kids today. And it's hard to believe that any of our kids are growing up sane at all.
Well, that's what's scary, and that's what's leading into the generation today is like a good example. I was reading an article that they were talking about emergency vehicles and how anybody that even passed their driver's license or got a driver's license knows that when you got an emergency vehicle coming up behind you, you pull over to the right and stop if you can. The officer who was writing this article said that some people are just going, maybe what I'm supposed to do is just kind of freeze in that lane so they can zigzag around me.
Yeah.
Or maybe they should just wait their turn when they're running code 3.
I think that's one of the problems we have with that and can be solved is we should use television more, because television should be teaching us what we're supposed to be doing. Some people don't know. They literally don't know. They read their manual when they first get their license, and then that goes beyond them. But, you could use television to...
Oh, I got one better. I got one better. Okay, instead of a driving test, here's your test to get a driver's license. Anybody can drive a car, well, pretty much. Okay? Your test is to walk from one end of the DMV to the other and chew gum at the same time.
That might be it too. I could possibly do a real job on a lot of people, I'm telling you. But I mean, the thing is, we've got the facilities and the ability to teach people, and even teach them without them even knowing they're being taught, because television can teach you things without you even being aware of what's going on. And we should use that and instead of just letting it sit there and go to waste.
Including radio, where, subliminal information, like more callers, and that, you people, you know, be having conversations or watching something, more callers. And
well, that doesn't work, by the way.
Yeah,
I've done this before. I've done that with your more callers idea, and also in a theater with running things. And I used to run a theater, and we used to slip a little one frame or two frames or. You know, the idea was you slip a frame in of something that you want people to remember, and you do that three or four times, and they're okay. But one frame didn't do it. So we put in two frames, and that didn't do it. Put in three frames, and that didn't do it. Put in four frames, and people came out and started to complain because it was, everybody saw it and was upset about it. So that doesn't do it. But you can use the radio or television and explain what's going on and use it. And just tell people what's going on, but work it into the plot of the program somehow or another. You know, we've got enough smarts that we can do that. We are human beings.
Send money.
Yeah. Really.
But speaking of sending money. Speaking of calling, we are, by the way, getting close to the end of the program here, and. Again, I want to kind of end the program to remind people that we are on Saturdays now, in case you are listening to the archives. If you're listening to us right now live, you know that. Saturdays, 4 p.m. Pacific time. And I'd like to thank our guest today, Ms. Jo Rae Perkins, who's running for U.S. Senate. And again, you can follow her on her website, Perkins, F-O-R, Senate, or USSenate.com, and on Facebook, et cetera. And we hope to have her and other guests on the program coming up. If you have any questions, comments, or whatever, send us emails, talk@trbnradio.com. And just despite popular demand, we are coming back.
Yes, next week.
Next week, exactly.
Same time, same station.
And we always look forward to your comments, and if you'd like us to read your comments on the air, let us know. And check us out
next week. Let's do the whole thing and let's have you call.
That's right.
You know, it'd be really nice if you give us a call and let us know what you think, even if what you think is not what we're talking about, or what you think is not what we think, or if you think we're totally off base about something. Call us and tell us, because I'm serious. We'd like to know. I'd like to know.
I'd like to know. And check us out on Facebook, too. You can check us. Facebook is still playing with us, so I'm having trouble with it. But right now we do have a better address. It's facebook.com/Caribbean Radio. So check us out there. Like us on Facebook. Let's try and get that thing to work. I put a lot of time in it. And again, send us your comments, emails. Call us next week, 646-721-9887. Put it on your refrigerator like Cliff did, but don't do like he did, put it in a permanent marker. And we'll see you again next week.
Have a good one, everybody.
Bye.
Check us out on the internet at www.krbnradio.com or email us with your show ideas at talk@krbnradio.com. This is KRBN Internet News Talk Radio.